And now on Tucson Business Radio, let's find out how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise with your host, Karen Fisher.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tucson, Arizona, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. We are broadcasting from the Tucson Business Radio X, which is situated in the Stewart Title Corporate Office Building over off of Broadway. And I am very excited to present to you two of my most favorite people in the world. We'll start there. And also very, very long-term friends both. We have both Suzanne McFarland. Those of you that have known me for many years know that her beautiful daughter Alyssa and our wonderful daughter Allison went to, they started in kindergarten together at St. Michael's. So it's 22, we figured it out, it's 22 years that we've known each other. Just amazing. And then the most amazing, Jennifer Phelps, whom we've had the honor to meet. I met you first through, was it first through eWomen Network?
I think
through
so.
Through eWomen Network. But that's been a number of years, too. And so we're going to have a lot of fun today. This is, you know, I had a super, I'm excited. It doesn't mean that it's a negative thing, but it's just kind of like a wow reality check on Monday, which was what? No, Monday was the 25th. Monday was the 24th. So Tuesday, the 25th. So think about it. Six months till Christmas Day.
Wow.
So 6 months till Christmas Day. So everybody's like, oh my goodness. So, you know, first of all, we're just going to have a conversation about, okay, we're halfway through. How are you doing on your goals? We just came through the summer solstice, which is on the 21st of June, which also happens to be my beloved husband's birthday. The longest day of the year, I found out from a little trivia. Everybody that knows me knows that I love numbers. I'm a true numbers geek. It's actually the longest day of the year since the 1830s, which is pretty wild. So let's, my two guests have lots of information on how you can help to realize your goals, because I don't know about you guys. I haven't hit my year goals. I have goals and dreams. I haven't hit them. They're not there. It's not checked off. It's not done. And even if it were checked off or done, then I'd set some other ones. So let's talk about, so first of all, tell me a little bit about you guys. I know your bios, but just talk a little about them. We'll talk some more details. Say
well,
hello.
Now I'm all distracted because now I have to put Christmas shopping on my to-do list.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good.
Actually, it's pretty easy for me. Well, let's see. The easiest way to describe what I do is professional organizer. But really what happens is professional women and entrepreneurs, they hire me to reinvent their spaces because they're living in clutter, chaos, or just soul-sucking blech. And they're overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. So I just help dig them out and we just create a beautiful, inspiring, and really functional space so you can meet your goals. So you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that's really the fundamentals. It's not just about rearranging stuff. It's really about being healthy, wealthy, and wise in your home and in your business.
And we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive today. There have been so many things that have happened recently. I've shared with some of our listeners of how we've had to transition my mother-in-law into memory care, and how my father-in-law, who, you know, was the original Superman as far as I'm concerned, how he all of a sudden wasn't able to drive and all the changes and the things that they're having to do. And then also dealing with probate with my brother-in-law and all these changes and coming at you pretty quickly. You think that you're busy when you're in your 20s. Oh my gosh, try being almost 60. You are like, you're busy, okay, as far as what's going on. So we're going to do a deep dive, and because there's so much, it's now, I know you've been doing this for a long time, but there's now more information about there, and there's a
more
lot
awareness.
Of more awareness, but some of the communication that I've seen is actually more, it feels really judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and there's lots of should. So I've got a couple of rules. No shoulding on yourself. You know, you just don't.
That's right.
So as far as some changes there. And then we have Suzanne again. So again, I know your bio. We're going to talk about some more of this, but tell me a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Absolutely. So my business, Step Up Leaders, focuses on helping companies and organizations develop their talent, retain their talent, engage their staff, and build a pipeline of next generation leaders. So that to me looks like executive coaching, it's leadership development. I do workshops and retreats for companies and organizations too to help help them really engage their staff and keep them motivated and excited and moving forward to reach their goals.
Yes, and then, and you know, and as far as with the goals, somebody once had said that goals were actually dreams with deadlines, and I think that's I like that description. I think a goal with a deadline, a dream with a deadline, that's what it is. But it takes planning and some fun things to do this. So let's talk about, okay, so the first half of this year, tell me what's been going on in your lives. What's great and new and fun things that are happening?
You start, Jennifer.
Well, it's been kind of a mixed bag for me. It's been great. I've been, you know, speaking and doing TV, and I'm writing a course. So for people who don't necessarily want a human body in their home, but they want to really dive into some of the things that I talk about as sort of core issues to help you get organized, not just move this here, move that there. That's something that's happening for me. It's very exciting, and it's actually a lot harder than I thought it would be. Talk about a goal with a deadline. I mean, a dream with a deadline. I'm working on that. We got an awesome grandbaby and another one coming August 1st. They schedule these things now, you know.
Oh, they do.
But you'll notice that's right smack in the middle of the eWomen conference. So,
oh no,
I know, it's terrible. And but that's good. And you know, also, talking about family stuff, my dad just gave us the scare of a lifetime. So we've been dealing with that, and I had to make
a medical scare.
Triple time. It's a little crazy. And so I had to make a little, like we're talking about goals and plans and stuff, and nothing really sticks, because every once in a while something will happen that scuttles all of that. And sometimes, you know, a crisis of a loved one really, really does that. And I've had that experience. So that just happened the last month or so, and going back tomorrow.
Yeah. Make sure he's okay. Well, and I have to say,
he's still in the hospital.
He's still in the hospital right now. Oh my gosh. Well, one of the, you've heard a lot of different people talking about, you know, have a balanced life. You need to have a balanced life. And I had been feeling like, wow, there must be really something wrong with me, because I feel like I'm really out of balance. And then I heard somebody say, and it was actually Sandra Yancey, the founder of eWomen Network, who said, I don't believe that there's any such thing as a balanced life. You have a blended life. And I'm like, tell me more about that. That sounded correct. And she said, look, you're going to have your priorities and things that are going to happen. But if you have a family member who's sick or something that's happening, you know, your 100% of your focus is going to be there. You cannot say, I'm sorry, Mom. I know that you're in renal failure, but I can't get to the hospital until Tuesday from a week from now. So can you just live a little longer till I get there? It doesn't work that way. And yet, at the same time, and I know you've talked about this a lot, about there's also that setting of healthy boundaries, because as women, we tend to, it's still that we tend to be more the caregivers in our family. It still is happening that way. So you've got this big, we've got a lot of things that are happening, big career things that are happening, and you're also the family caregiver, oftentimes the majority family caregiver. You can have people that are there, but sometimes it's just different. So what are your thoughts about that and what's been going on the first half of this year?
Well, I the first thing I wanted to mention is just this notion of work-life balance, because this comes up a lot with my clients. And I always talk to them about work-life integration. And at any given time, one may weigh heavily than another, but you have to really pay attention to what's most important. So for me, I typically, when folks are struggling with that kind of thing, I help them first look at, I'm going to back up. I really like to help people figure out personality, their strengths, and what their values are. And then when you start to get a sense of, oh, this is who I am, and step into who I am without preconceived notions or the expectations of what other people may have for us, then you are able to more clearly be able to say, well, this is how I would like my life to unfold. So when you have a sense of that, particularly around the values, so everybody's values really vary, and it plays out in what's actually showing up in your life. Or if you feel misaligned, maybe you're not actually living out the values that you say are really important to you. So I oftentimes will say, well, let's step back. Let's look at who you are. Let's look at the best you put out into the world. Then let's look at your values and let's see where that misalignment may be. And that's where really a lot of the cause of stress is with work-life balance. And I think when you step back and say, I don't have time to exercise. It's kind of like what you're saying about the shoulds. I always try to get the shoulds out of people's vocabulary and say, okay, what do you want to do? What are you willing to do? So in other words, what are you willing to sacrifice to get where you want to go? Because sometimes people say, I should be doing something or I want something, and they don't achieve it. And a lot of that is because they're maybe not really willing to sacrifice the things that they have to do to get there. So when it comes down to then making a schedule that works so that you don't have this sense of being pulled in every direction, part of it is calendaring the things that you want to do. So you want to work out twice a week and you're not working out at all. Let's start small with one time a week and put it on your calendar.
I love that. I'm a voracious reader, and I read typically paper books, because I don't know what it is, that tactile feeling of the paper, even if I fall asleep and it bonks me on the nose or whatever the case may be. But I do read on Kindle. I do read on, you know, other things like that. But interestingly, I just was assigned by my business coach. I think I'm a huge believer in coaching in all areas of your life, but my business coach assigned the book Girl, Wash Your Face. Mm-hmm. And then the last one that is just finished is Go Givers. And both of them talk about it's interesting, both of them talk about being your authentic self. And then also about starting small. So, you know, let's say you want to lose weight. Don't just sit there and say, okay, I'm going to work out. You know, like you said, I'm going to work out three times a week. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. She says, let's try. I'm going to increase my water intake. Let's just drink a little more water.
So usually about twice a year, this is always fun. I ask people to post a photo of what's on top of their treadmill.
On top of their treadmill. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you must have some interesting posts. Okay.
It's usually laundry sort, because people tend to use it as a dryer rack.
A great dryer.
Talk about setting goals and talking about starting small. I say, send me a picture of what's on top of your treadmill right now, or your step machine, whatever it is. But it's usually not you.
it's usually not you. That is pretty. That is really interesting. Well, I think about you know, just as far as those information, and then also taking a step back and recognizing. You know, so you may be like, okay, you may have been able to work at a certain high level. Like one of the things, I love what I do. I literally love what I do. I get excited with people. I see the changes of what they're doing as far as either buying a home or refinancing, saving them money, hitting retirement, improving their credit, whatever the case may be. I absolutely love what I do. And it's very easy for me to hide in work. Do you find that common? That it's like the safe space?
Saying this live on the radio is a safe space. No, absolutely. I really do find that a problem for me.
Yeah, that it's like, okay, I'd much rather go to work on somebody else's credit file or do this, that, and the other than the other stuff that I might have to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
And it's easy in a job to do that because you see these demands that never cease, and it's just they get piled on top of one another. And helping people pull away from that and helping them understand, one of the books that I really love is The Power of Full Engagement. And it talks about...
I have to write that one down.
That's a great one. It talks about how energy is our greatest asset and that we really need to incorporate recovery rituals in our day in order to keep at a decent energy level. So typically, and I've done it myself, where I will start at the beginning of the day at this high level of energy, and then I go until I can barely drive home. But if you think about if your energy level is up at a high level when you start the day, hopefully, And as it starts to wean, maybe like it starts to dip down a little bit and maybe mid-morning, let's say. So to incorporate some activity, even if it's 5 minutes of walking around the block or 5 minutes of going to make your favorite cup of tea or coffee or checking in with a colleague or just shutting your door and laying on the floor for 5 minutes and meditating, it helps you restore that energy level so that you can go the long haul. So I talk a lot to people about that. And then it forces them to start thinking of what are the other things that I would like to incorporate into my life beyond my work stuff. Mm-hmm. Because it is, work is a really, that can be a very powerful way for us to get feedback and for us to feel that we have some meaning in our life. But a lot of times, if that's all you're doing, mm-hmm. there definitely are other parts of our lives that we're
So what's the name
suffering.
Of that book again? That's
The Power of Full Engagement.
The Power of Full Engagement. Okay, mm-hmm. that'll be a good one.
You know, I see that a lot. Well, people call me because they're going at work in their lives and their business, whether they're self-employed or they work for a company or something like that. They're going nonstop and they can, as I say, they can manage the universe at work. But then they come home and they don't have the energy. They don't have the bandwidth. They feel shame because they feel like they should be getting all this other stuff done at home. But there's so much tugs on their time and their energy that their home is a place where it's like kind of this dark secret. So, you know, they're rock stars out in public, but their home is a shamey place because that's where that low energy happens. And so that's kind of some of the fallout and the repercussion of that kind of life and not being able to recover. So that when you come home, you should walk in your door and feel like that's your recovery place. But very often people work, and then they come home or step out of their home office and they just go, this is not a recovery place for me. It is just more stress. And then that really helps break people down even more because there's not a spot in their entire lives where they can feel that, as you're saying, that recuperation and that regeneration. Because everything's gotten out of control. And I think that's a really excellent point, is we just push ourselves so hard that even the place in our home with our families, it becomes not a sanctuary, and mm-hmm. it becomes the opposite. And that's really sad, but it's fixable. I mean, life is messy. That's my whole thing, because life is messy. But to have some foundations so that when things get crazy and when you feel tired, you can let things be a little, you know, you be a little loosey-goosey. But then as soon as you have that burst of energy or that even 5 minutes, it's easy to recuperate and to recover. And that's the whole thing. You need those foundations. But I see that when people come home, all that you're talking about in their home, it's just exhaustion
it's
and stress.
Yeah.
It's just
mm-hmm.
it's exhaustion and stress is the whole place. So being able to have enough foundations, like you're talking about a structure, and then be able to recover quickly is really the goal. Because life is messy. That's what we've been talking about. And that's part of the beauty and magic of it. But we just need some foundations so that we can get ourselves together.
And as you're sitting there, as far as the foundations and all the stuff, and I think this will, maybe somebody's already told you this. So I thought, I know what this is. You are the spandex of the world. Because
that's awesome.
If you think about it, you know, you've got all these, you can look great.
Snort.
Yeah. Here you are.
Try not to do that.
Great, you know, like think about it. It's like, yeah, it holds its shape, but it's flexible and things like that. So the spandex of this world.
I think my clients will like that.
Yes.
They'll say, yeah, that's you.
But, you know, so I want to share a little bit more about your backgrounds because people want to know, okay, why do I have you on my show? Okay, why do I consider you guys the experts and you're so easy to refer? So I'm going to give you a little bit of background first about Suzanne McFarlane, who is the owner and founder of Step Up Leaders. And so her behind the scenes, the official bio, she is a professional certified and board certified coach, which that's the one thing that's happened in the coaching world. There's so many people that have hung up a shingle. It's like, I don't know, you could just be a coach. You're a coach right now, so there you go. But there's a big difference as far as having somebody who is actually certified and specifically board certified. And with you focusing on employees and building a pipeline of next generation leaders that she has shared earlier, that really speaks to a lot of people, especially if they're getting ready to start or grow a business, whatever the case may be, or even sell a business for that matter. You know, what does your end game look like, right? And she goes on to say that she personally employs the motto, speak up, Step Up many years ago and has taught that concept in her leadership development pursuits. She helps people see the best in themselves and stand tall in who they are so that they can step up to contagiously change the world. Isn't that a huge thing? Changing the world for the better. Her background in the entertainment industry offered her marketing experience and the opportunity to exercise her natural ability for strategy and innovation. She has been an instructor at the Eller College of Management at the U of A, as well as the executive director of Greater Tucson Leadership. Her clientele list includes many of our top employers in Tucson. She's a regular speaker on topics, so if you'd like to have her as a speaker, I've had the honor of having her as a keynote speaker for events that we've had, so that's something I definitely want. So speaking on topics of leadership and inspiration, and big time, we've shared a lot of volunteer opportunities together in our community as National Charity League moms and also St. Michael's moms, etc. And I know that you absolutely love Tucson. She's originally from Pennsylvania. It's not in her bio there officially, but I know this to be true. And is creating new ways for people to step up and create impact in our own backyard. So with that, so let's give some, I like to give some tactics. Like if somebody is just in that, oh my gosh, the year is half over. I haven't achieved my goals. And I'm not even on track for that. How do people reset? And what does the, when you think about this time of the summer solstice, which, you know, gives us, there's so many cultures throughout the world that talk about the summer solstice and what that means throughout the rest of the world. Tell me about, you know, where do people hit the reset button? What does that look like?
So, when people struggle with their goals, I typically have them step back to say, what are you really trying to achieve? Like, is it a feeling? Is it a something that you're trying to accomplish or attain? And then as we talked about having the smaller steps involved, so I help them break it down into smaller steps. So I was thinking back to some work that I've done in the past and this acronym of SMART goals. So are you familiar with that one?
I am, but maybe the listeners
are not.
So
specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. Mm-hmm. So I think when we step back and start thinking, well, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish and why? Because maybe as you attach a why to it, you realize, well, maybe that's not really that important to me anymore. And then breaking it down into smaller steps. But at preparing for this, I was thinking about, what gets in the way of creating change? I was thinking about it from this standpoint. And oftentimes we get stuck in these cycles like we were talking about with our work, right? Where we go, and we don't have the time. A common complaint that I get with people, I don't have time to be strategic in my job, right? Because I'm just going, and maybe task-driven and not really having the opportunity to reflect, let's say, but that happens in our lives as well too. So I was thinking about the difficulty with change in general. So therefore then achieving goals is what's familiar is most comfortable to us. And I did a workshop on Monday with one of the divisions of the U of A. I did a staff retreat for them and the title was Happy at Work, but it made me think about one aspect of what I presented to them. And how when you're in the right frame of mind, it's easier to set the appropriate goals and then to attain those goals. So I really love this book called What Happy People Know. It's written by Dan Baker, who was a Tucson resident and maybe still is. He worked at Canyon Ranch and had written this book. In fact, a friend from New York had sent me this book, and it ends up that here's somebody right from my own backyard that wrote it.
Right down the road.
But when you focus on these things, it is easier to make change and therefore then also easier to attain your goal. So when you have a sense of happiness, so happiness is employing behaviors that help us feel happy, but that's different from mood or joy, which is kind of joy or these moments of excitement and, you know, we might call that happiness as well too. But I thought I would share these. So the first is having a sense of appreciation. The second is feeling that we have choice in our lives. The third is having a sense of personal power. The fourth is leading with your strengths. The fifth is the power of language and stories and how this is where we get stuck sometimes in making change or achieving our goals, is we've got, you know, a little gremlin on our shoulder saying like, oh, you're never going to get there, or who knows what that language
and women
be.
In particular have that voice that says, who do you think you are?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the
little
six,
girl.
And
right.
The gremlins in your house that say that too.
But the six is multidimensional living, which is what we were talking about, work-life integration, making sure that you have all the facets of your life thriving so that you're in a good place to make change and to meet your goals. So as I said, as I was thinking about today, I thought, well, this would be a neat thing to
I
share.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. Multidimensional living. I like that idea because mm-hmm. that, again, talks about if you have a full plate and then you want to add something to that, again, and she's a mentor of mine, so I'm going to just share it. Sandra Yancey's words saying, you've got to take some things off your plate before you add more on. And sometimes that's more important than anything because, you know, the one thing that I do know, there's not a lot of truths, but the one thing that I do know without question is that we all have the same 24 hours in a day. Bill Gates did not get 48 hours in a day. He still got the same 24 as everybody else. So it is a matter of choice. And the other thing that I have, as far as I'm becoming aware of, even more, I mean, I'm always acutely aware and I'm always learning and growing. But the other thing to think about is sometimes you'll hear that the enemy, you're like, okay, do the things that you love, you know, and delegate the rest. Okay, that seems simple enough. But what if you love it all? Mm-hmm. Or what if you love most of it? Mm-hmm. Then are you doing the things that are bringing you perhaps the most joy? Joy versus happiness? Because happiness, I know that depending upon how you look at it, but you can choose joy even when you have terrible things happening.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's always something
that's a mindset versus it's not as our marketing world says, you know, here, I'm going to give you this red Solo cup and you're going to be happy versus, you know, am I going to be joyful because I have this cup or whatever the case may be. But being getting into that state where you can make those good conscious decisions, I think is really good.
So let me clarify here, because I was thinking that maybe a multidimensional life would mean that all of my work would get done in a parallel universe, and then I could just play in this dimension. In
yes,
a parallel
that's
dimension,
what she's saying. She's already
work,
got the magic wand.
All the work
wand.
Gets done in a parallel dimension, and I just get to play in this dimension.
Yeah.
No? Yes?
No. Yes.
Anyway, that's my vote.
I like it. I like it very much.
Well, just for clarity. No, that's not it? Okay.
Well, I like that interpretation.
But as you have this, and this is the one thing that I also know, I love it. I think it's perfect, actually. Yeah. And you do know that that's me saying, let's have some fun. People hear me all the time. So with regards to your environment, so this is the, so you hear a reason why listeners, you should listen to and connect with Suzanne. But I want to share with you about Jennifer. So let me give you a little bit about her official background, as you've gotten to know. And so Jennifer Phelps is the owner of Jennifer Phelps Organize, Design, Reinvent. And she helps her clients overcome the overwhelm, dig themselves out of clutter, chaos. And I do love this because I know you actually say this, and it's best when you, if you could see it on television, soul-sucking bleh. She brings fresh, honest, and insightful eyes to your worn-out spaces and creates a calm, inspiring, and effective environment that supports your success and never hinders it. A speaker and writer known for her humor and down-to-earth approach. I like that. We're going to make it all happen. But it's called the Tabitha Effect. Jennifer has been the in-house organizing expert on Kagan 9's Tucson Morning Blend, a featured presenter at the Saba and Arizona Home Shows, a contributor to House Online Design Magazine, and president of Tucson Professional Organizers. I do know this. Jennifer believes that when you reinvent your space, you reinvent yourself. You can read her tips, tricks, and mindset shifts on her blog entitled Because Life is Messy, A Survival Guide. So bring it up as far as a little bit of background. What was it? Because I know that you've done the professional organizing. Mm-hmm. You've been able to help coordinate projects and things like that. I would love to for you to share specifically, there was the one success story of a very, very prominent professional woman and, you know, no names mm-hmm. or anything like that. But she was very professional and great in her public life, but
Which
her dining room, the oh, dining no. room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was so talk really about story. That.
Well, this is a really great example of everything we've been talking about. And what I feel like is there are an awful lot of euphemisms and all these people saying, be successful. And if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. And you won't. I just feel that that gets so pedantic and so difficult. And no one is helping people create spaces in their home, in their office that help them feel really who they are. And in because it's those stories. I always say your story is what I start with, not your stuff. This person is a great example. We're sitting by the pool at a conference and she says to me, oh my gosh, I need an organizer. She hears this conversation happening next to her. Oh my gosh, I need you. And I say, okay, well, what's happening? She goes, I need more space. I'm like, okay. She says, well, I need a new bedroom for a kid or something. And we're talking and then all of a sudden, so I said, well, tell me the places that you have. So she describes the bedrooms. She describes the family room. She describes the living room. And then she says, oh, and there's the dining room that we never use because I'm a terrible mom. And then she starts going on. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's pull that right back.
Dining room I never use because I'm a terrible mom. Isn't that sad?
Horrible. And she's got two young boys. And let's talk about that dining room, right? So turns out it has a big dining table in it, has all the china cabinets filled with the wedding gifts.
She's divorced.
Of the man who literally walked out while she's holding their infant son saying, you mean nothing. Oh, you my. Are nothing. I'm leaving. So I said,
ouch.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And so I'm like, okay, let's pull that back here because not only do you feel like you need new space, but you have a room that is like this museum to shame, failure, and mistakes and sorrow. I said, and that room is sitting there because you think that as a mom, you have to have these big family get-togethers with certain number of people and all this sort of thing. But instead, it's only just this whole museum and image of failure. Every time you go past that, your heart cannot, because we're sentient beings, we may not register these things, these messages in our environment at the front, but we always register it in the back and in our heart and in our gut. So I said, let's start with that. Next thing you know, so she says, I'm hiring you. So because this was just poolside, this whole other, I'm like, yeah, we have awesome work to do. Clean that whole thing out. She packed up the few things that she really wanted to keep, sold all of the other stuff, all of the furniture sets, which was great because that is like equaled my fee, which is super awesome because, you know, when you want something and it will come to
and
you.
And it appears. Yeah.
And we designed an amazing little study space for the two kids, a little project table for them making, you know, like those volcano projects and stuff, and a little papasan chair where she can sit and have story time with them. And then we redid the living room where the toys and stuff are. We redid this whole thing. So I said, what if you could create a space where you, instead of having this room you use a couple times a year, you can have a space that will create new memories and precious times for you and your boys every day. And that's what we did. We created something every day by erasing those horrible stories. No matter how great she was doing at home, she just, every time she saw that room, it was awful. And I just, my heart broke and I said, yep, I want to help you because that's a beautiful, it just is a beautiful story. So I love it.
It's and the interesting thing as far as space, this is the one thing because Jennifer doesn't know this, but she's got work to do with me when she comes back from Chicago because I became, and this may happen to a lot of women. I'm actually a person, you've been over to my house before, you've never been over, I don't know what the deal is.
But, I know,
that
but, I see,
but we'll
I
make
see
that happening.
I see wine in your house
oh,
in the future.
Oh, and the pool with the swim-up bar, we've got that happening. But
And Mark, our producer, is like, hey, wait, what about us? What? Yes, you're coming over too. We ended up becoming the catch-all for my mom's things. My mom passed away suddenly 15 years ago. Can you believe it's been 15 years? Mom passed away suddenly 15 years ago. So the collector of my mom's stuff. Then we ended up with all of my grandmother's stuff on my dad's side of the family. And then with the latest move, as if that wasn't enough, you know how, like, if you don't kind of deal with it, that it just keeps, like, I've literally am just now mentally in the space that I can actually go through the photos, because I would start to go through the photos. And it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't as far as the shame or the things that you're talking about with that. I had such, and I'll be the first to say, I did some personal work on this. I had such a profound sense of grief and loss that every time I opened up those photos, instead of it bringing me joy, it just would like, it just would rip me apart, right?
Yeah.
So we're about halfway through as far as the show, and I want to do some deep dives in this, but I do want to remind everyone here that you are listening to Karen Fisher's broadcast of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. This is my own personal radio show. People have known that I've done radio on and off for 20 plus years, but this is a passion project for me. I really want our listeners to forward this information. These are some tools that I just want to just bring that out there. I'm bringing you to the people, bringing the people to you, the experts, to help each one of our listeners to become healthier, wealthier, and wiser. Because I know this, if we are all wealthier, that gives us more that we can give and pay forward and to do the things that we want to do with our causes. Because, you know, it's really hard to be the person who's giving if you're broke. It doesn't work well that way. It's just energetically not good. And this is Tucson Business Radio X, which is actually situated at the corporate offices of Stewart Title Boulevard, Stewart Title on Broadway Boulevard. So let's talk about a little bit more about as far as, like, okay, where do you begin? Where we talked a little about as far as with these changes and things like that. What are some tips that you have both for you as people are going to go through as far as, okay, what am I going to do maybe just within the next week, maybe some little tips. And then where do you begin as far as, your house? Because I've heard all kinds of theories about where do you start to declutter. And some of those theories for, some of them are really, I mean, maybe they might work for some people, but, I find that a lot of the, quote, advice and counsel that I'm getting from people who say that they do this type of work with their space and their stuff all comes from a point of shame. Mm-hmm. And then there's another part of it that instead of figuring out what, all they did was put all the junk in pretty boxes and like you still have it. It's just looking good. Mm-hmm. Right? Have you seen that? Where it's just like it's super organized, but you got.
Yes, I've seen that. I do not do that.
I know you don't. So.
Because it has to be really personal for yourself, you know, and I think that different people have different reasons. Some people just, they're not really well organized. When I say organized, it's sort of euphemism, this euphemistic sometimes for getting rid of some stuff, and that's why it's really hard for people. And you can have people with a perfect showcase home and still have it not really match them, you know, so it doesn't have to be clutter and mess that makes things the problem. So what I help people see is, one is, what's your story? Like, where are the little hiccups for you? Where the negative things happening in your environment? Because if you can pick a couple of those out, that's a great place to start. That's a great place to start looking at what has value and what is actually hindering you in your life and in your home. And then as you start deciding if that is worth the space it's occupying, I say you're exercising the muscle of discernment. You're doing it with
an
inanimate
object. But what if it was a gift? What if it was a gift from somebody?
Well, let me say, so is every, okay, yes, let's stay from the top. For a lot of people, that is challenging. Two, let's just for a moment, and I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying, let's say when you are giving gifts to your friends, is every single gift a super heartfelt gift, just really just from the heart and so personalized, and you looked high and low for the perfect thing? Or did you go to Ross and find a gift basket and you gave it to them and it's a super cute basket, and then you expect to see that basket in your friend's home forever? Okay, I'm just saying, not all gift giving is the same. Not all gifts are equal. Not everything has the same value physically or for your space. So think about how you gift give. But we give things because it's nice to have a little thing, right? But when someone gives you something, it doesn't mean you have to keep it just because another human being gave it to you. It is super important to get that. Not all gifting is equal, right? And then think about, this is the other side, and when you gift, think about how much struggle you have getting rid of stuff that someone has given you. And think about that before you gift someone else something, and think about what kind of gift does not stress you out, but does bring value to your life, whether it's activity or something else, and not just a thing. Because it's two sides of a coin. The way you feel about getting gifts you can't get rid of, think about it before you give someone else a gift that they're going to have the same problem with.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, super good.
I like to get down to the nuggets.
I imagine that. Imagine that.
So when you were talking about your process with that woman in her dining room, it reminds me of an exercise that we do in coaching where I would say to one of you as my client, describe your living space. And it's extraordinary what comes from that, because what comes out of that is what's happening in their internal space.
Huh, go figure.
Isn't that interesting?
Tell
well,
me, I mean, it's like okay, what would an example that somebody
okay,
has
said? Okay, so someone might say, oh, it's really pretty on the outside, but in the inside, it's very disorganized, and there's some places that make me feel sad, or, you know, that sort of thing. So when you start to deconstruct that, then it's like, well, you're just talking about what's going on with you internally. So, and the other thing that that reminded me of, too, this whole idea of getting rid of things is long ago, it was actually at a church service, they talked about if there's something, it would go around your home and look at all the things in your home. And if you get a bad feeling, a negative feeling, who knows why, it just doesn't resonate with you, or maybe there's a real reason why. Somebody gave it to you, they're not in your life anymore, they harmed you in some way, whatever that may be. But if you get a bad feeling about something, let it go. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way about clothing, too. It's like I go into my closet and I'll think, I just don't have a good feeling about that one anymore. And I get rid of stuff. So this whole idea of cleaning house, the internal house, is so
figurative
important.
Figurative and literal.
Exactly. So when you say tips, I think that comes from, you had mentioned how important coming from your authentic self is. And I think when you can step back, and that's why I had mentioned some of the assessments that I like to use to help people get really clear on who they are. But when you can get clear on who you are, what your priorities are, what your goals are, what your values are, and then you can construct your goals, I think that helps you move down that path more easily. But really looking at what are those stories you're telling yourself? What's that little, you know, gremlin on your shoulder whispering into your ear? Like you had mentioned, a lot of times women might say, well, I don't really deserve that, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or why me, or I can't possibly happen. And I do think, though, with goals, you have to really make them realistic.
I think they need to be, what I find on a personal basis is that they need to be, yes, you set them and they need to be realistic and also subject to change, because you can say, you know, this is what my goal is. This is my goal. This is what I'm going to do. And then something can happen as major as any, you know, health issues. Let's just start there. So any of those things can happen.
Or you become a caregiver like you have experienced.
Yes. Then things change. So then maybe that goal of getting that book written that year is not it. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's not ever going to happen. The other thing that I find is that I'm a lover and a collector of great ideas. And so I get a lot of great and good ideas coming to me all the same time. And one of the tools that's been helpful to me, and I don't even remember where I got this tip, but it is a really great system for me, is I keep a separate file folder. I've got like a hanging file folder, and I've labeled it not now. I love label makers. I mean, you know, like I'm, you want it. Some women love to go shopping in like the clothing store. send me to an office supply store. I am like so happy. I'm like, oh, look what they came up with now. They've got colored binder clips. How fun is that? So, but I...
Paper clips that look like frogs.
They do. It's super fun. But they, so my label maker, which I, you know, it actually ended up being such a funny thing. Everybody started at the household. Scott and Allison started using my label maker. And I'm like... it's mine. So I had to buy two more. So, but the rest of the story is that on the label maker, I've got the Not Now folder, and I go through that, and it's like, it's a great idea. So it's like a holding place for great ideas, but not now. It's a good idea, but I'm not going to implement it right now. And that's helped me a lot because it took the I should off of me.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and I think also... what I was getting at is listen to what you're telling yourself about either what the goal is, why you're not achieving the goal, why it's so difficult. And like you said, be flexible enough to say, maybe that goal isn't serving me. And to be able to say, as I said initially, why do I want to achieve that goal? Maybe your intention isn't right in trying to achieve a particular goal. And if when you can step back and be realistic about, is that really a goal for me? Or do I want to modify that goal? If I'm not getting the goal done, what's getting in the way? What's the story
that I'm telling myself,
or what am I doing instead of achieving that particular goal? The other thing too is you have to keep your goals front and center. You have to be able to say, okay, on a weekly, monthly basis, calculating, have I made a step forward on that particular goal, or do I need to modify
it? That's the part of being, first of all, that specific, you've got it, and then also the measurable, and then breaking that down into little steps, because it's the small daily improvements are what are truly the key to long-term lasting success. And, you know, and what are those things that you're doing as far as that? I think it's really, really huge. Energetically, I know that if you don't have the energy for something that's happening, I know that it can... there are things that are energy suckers in your life and things that are builders.
Right.
So a builder for me on a personal basis, I'm a morning person, super morning person anyhow. I'm usually up between 4:30 and 5 just naturally. I just love the mornings. This time of year in particular, I just love it because, you know, you're out there with the plants and watering the flowers and the birds, and it's a... you know, it's my own little individual meditation time. What are some of the practices that you use? Like, what recharges you?
Well, actually, what recharges me? Well, playing with the grandkid does that. You know,
something about babies that just like,
and, yeah,
so,
and I'm not a huge baby person, but you know, when it's your grandkid, it's super cool. But, I'm not deflecting the question, but I have this burning thing on my mind about the clutter, because, you know, we're talking this exact conversation about all the things that get in the way of your goals and all the things that get in the way of what's truly powerful in building for you. We create so much clutter in our lives, in our mind, and all of these little distractions. And that's really what clutter in our space is, the same thing, whether it's clutter that keeps us from doing the energizing things and the building things. And so, like you're talking about, you want to avoid people who are super judgy about what it's supposed to look like for you, what, let's say specifically organizing, but also goal setting. What is leadership? What does it feel like to be a leader? What are your goals good enough? I mean, there's so much clutter and expectation that's super judgy, and then it just shuts you down.
Shuts you down, yeah.
So what I say is, your environment is such a tangible space that supports everything else that you're doing, you know, in your life. And it's a give and take. You set a goal, a tiny goal of 5 to 10 minutes is a practice that you can do to help clear those things from your space. And it's not just getting rid of things. I really don't like that phrase, but it's reducing the number of distractions from what really matters to you. So you might have 5 tchotchkes on a shelf, and 2 of them are precious to you, and 3 of them are just something you've accumulated in your life, and it's not that important. But you have to dust all of those and not appreciate them. But if you just have those 2 that you love, that's like setting goals. It's like creating the space and clearing the path to things that really serve you and help you feel powerful. And it doesn't matter if it's 5 or 1. The point is making sure that what's in front of you is worth the time and energy, and that it supports you and helps you feel powerful to meet your goals and all of that. So organizing for me is an exercise toward really clearing the space of away from getting rid of all the things that are in your way. That's really what it is to me. And it's going to look different to each person. And that's why I don't go ascribe to the judgy ones.
Well, and you just today's show has brought up something really, really huge. I thought, oh my gosh, one of the things that I help people do is help them to get clear about their, I am not a financial planner. I am a mortgage loan officer, a mortgage banker, but we live in a very precious nation where we get to have private property. You get to own real estate. You realize most of the world, you don't get to own real estate. And I shared this with a client earlier today. I think it's surprising for people to realize that it was only the late 70s, so we're just talking less than 50 years ago, that women could not own real estate. They could own real estate. They couldn't get a mortgage unless they had a certificate of sterilization or were not of childbearing age. This is that recent ago. And so if you think about as far as with the money piece of what we have going on, one of the things that I find is that people will say, I can't afford it, I can't afford it, I can't afford it. And mortgages are, it's just math. Specifically, it's just algebra. And one of the things that I would encourage our listeners to do is look at your bank statements. Talk about the financial clutter. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people that say, I'm like, you know, tell me about your money. You know, where are your assets, what it is? And they will rattle off. I mean, it is exhausting to me to even put it on the application, much less they're rattling it off. They've got money squirreled in 6 and 7 financial institutions. But not because they've hit the $250,000 mark, you got to make sure that you're not going to lose it. No. It's they've got $1,000 here, $1,000 here. It's just this clutter. The other piece is very much unconscious consumerism.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Hence the clutter, okay?
If you want to find money to invest in your life, invite me to your home and I'll show you where you're spending money that you could invest.
Oh, we're going to have some fun with that as some workshaps and things
huge
like that.
Huge for me.
Well, one of the pieces that I tell people, this is a great litmus test. Look at your bank statements, not the ones online. Print them out for once, okay? Please. If they are more than 3 pages long, and I don't care what your net worth is, but I'm telling you, my highest net worth clients that are very, very good with their money, their actual household bank statement is not more than 3 pages long. If it is more than 3 pages long, I'm going to guarantee you that you are a swiper. You're using your debit card constantly. And it's not big expenses that sink. Is this the same thing as far as the clutter?
Oh, yeah.
It's not big expenses that sink.
I'm not spending a lot of money. I'm like, yeah, but you're not buying anything that you love either. So when you shop and you get a sale or you do anything or you just make a purchase, any kind of acquisition, it's a dopamine hit. It's a whole brain chemistry thing. And it becomes something that we want over and over. There's science and brain chemistry involved with acquisition. I'm not just talking about hoarding. I'm only talking about shopping or specialty sales, a yard sale, a dollar store, a Ross. I totally respect, you know, saving some money on purchases. But when you use that idea that I'm only spending a little bit of money, you be very careful because you'll see that you make a whole lot more little purchases. So you justified yourself. And that's why I'm saying if I go in your home, I can probably see some spaces where your money is going. So you make a sale and that's awesome, but you want that hit and it keeps happening more and more. So this isn't just airy fairy. This is an actual brain chemistry thing that some people do by shopping. Some people do by something else. I say go skydiving. Start finding some other way to get that hit.
There you go.
Just find something else. Like maybe meeting your goals. And then you call Suzanne.
Well, and there's, it's really interesting as far as the things that they say. Because let's say somebody wants to, as far as purchase a home, what I find with my average clients, young couples that are coming in, they're like, oh, we don't have the down payment. We don't have the down payment. So I sit there and I'll look at the bank statements and I can tell them exactly what it is. So one of the first steps I'll tell them is you need to take your debit cards out of your purse, out of your wallet. Take your debit cards, take your credit cards out of your purse, out of your wallet. Go to cash basis, just track everything, just do it for 2 weeks and come back to me. Most of my clients, the clients that actually do the exercise, literally, I know for a fact that I have changed their financial lives, okay? Totally changed their financial lives. Those that fight me on it all the time, and we'll have this conversation about this, one of the biggest things that I see is on their bills, and these are not people that are making a lot of money, and they're not people that are in transition. They have storage room fees. I'm telling you, for years,
10% of Americans own or rent external storage that they pay for monthly, averaging $1,000 a year. 10% of Americans have so much stuff that they love so much they can't get rid of it, so they stuff it in a dark box and put it in a storage facility that they never visit and pay $1,000 a year average.
That's unbelievable.
Do you think, can you imagine, unless it's super precious, which you wouldn't put in a storage unit anyway, how many times over you could repurchase that lemon squeezer or something like that, whatever is in there that you've repurchased for your home already and replaced? Imagine how many times over you are paying the replacement cost of most of the stuff we put in storage. I'm going to stop there because that gets, my blood pressure is going up.
Yeah. I love giving things away. I always feel free, I guess, when I get rid of things that I don't need, whether or not it's clothing or household items. And every now and then I'll think, oh, wouldn't it be great to have that awesome pair of shoes or that piece of furniture? Now I can use it. And then I think, well, isn't it great that for all these years, somebody else who really needed it could use it?
We have my dear friend, Catherine Barron, who owns Catherine's estate in antiques. She's moving through artwork and estate. And I mean, we're talking some of it, very high-end, beautiful things. And she is the best person that I've ever seen that will allow things to come into her life. Beautiful, beautiful artwork, beautiful things. Allow things to come into her life, and then she lets it go. And if people were to see me, they'd see my hands. I'm looking like a hula dancer. It is a wave.
It's beautiful.
It's
graceful thing I've seen forever.
That's good. So I want our listeners to be able to play this forward, but also to be able to connect with you. We're going to post things on the website, but I would love for you to each one of you to share how they connect with you and talk to me just briefly about your ideal client. Who would be an ideal client for you?
Okay. So I do a variety of things, as I mentioned. So an ideal client could be in three different categories. One would be a company or organization who is interested in developing their leaders or building a pipeline of leaders. I work with companies and organizations doing retreats and workshops around engagement, some of the topics that we talked about, finding your strengths, being happy at work, things like that. And I work with individuals as well who really are just, whether or not it's their career, their personal life, trying to, as I mentioned in my bio, see the best in themselves and stand tall in who they are. So did you ask me also to say
what's the easiest way to reach you? Okay. I know you've got lots of, and the social media will be all on the website.
Sure. Okay. So my website is stepupleaders.com. And I can be reached there. And my email address is Suzanne@stepupleaders.com.
Fantastic. And Jennifer?
Yeah. Well, usually I am employed by professionals of some sort. It's my ideal client is generally female. An entrepreneur, self-employed, is really a high percentage of my clients. Oftentimes home-based because our boundaries in our home office and the rest of our home are just terrible. So that's a sweet spot for me to help create that space of power for women to contribute when they want to contribute to their family. So that's really a lot of what I do. And there are a lot of ways that I can help, and it's easy to find out why and how. Just schedule a discovery call with me, and you find me at jenniferphelps.org. That's O-R-G like organize. jenniferphelps.org.
And you can, I know it's online as far as information. And then I am Karen Fisher with Summit Funding. I have to give my number because I'm not really a person. According to the licensing, I am a number, which is NMLS number 180167. And the easiest way to reach me is to call me on my direct line at the office, which is 520-447-2279. And honestly, my ideal client right now, the sweet spot of what a lot of people aren't aware of is that anybody that's purchased a home within the past 2 to 3 years, it is a great time to do a mortgage review. There is an opportunity for you to, I've got several clients, like literally three just in the past 2 days, that we are eliminating mortgage insurance because their property values have gone up. Three for three, didn't even have to have appraisals. We got appraisal waivers, and they're saving anywhere from $130 to $400 per month. So again, I just want to thank our listeners. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Karen.
I hope you guys had a blast. It's, the hour goes by like super fast.
How
always.
Could the three of us not have fun?
That's not possible. So thank
and Mark,
you. Good.
Thank
Mark,
you,
Mark, he's having a great time. He's smiling. So thank you again. You've been listening to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise on Tucson Business Radio X.